Okay, sorry, we're bashing who?
He.
Never mind.
Brown water.
Moving on.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, who's doing this? Me or you?
Let's both do it. We'll trade off words.
Oh boy.
Oh no, so you just did two.
And you did none. What the hell?
You guys do this every week, right?
Yes, exactly. This is how it goes.
And it goes just like this, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We both fight over who gets to start the recording surprisingly in the middle of someone else's sentence, and then and then sooner or later we run out of stuff and I throw in the theme music.
Yeah.
Run out of nonsense.
Now.
Maybe.
Okay.
Or if it's an episode I'm not on, I'll probably find a spot that I think sounds funny and put it in, and then like a minute and a half later someone will reference that here's where the theme music goes, and I'm like, oh,
just
shoot,
interrupt them. That's brilliant.
I didn't listen far enough. Oops, you know.
sounds about right.
Yeah.
Here, I'll go.
Okay.
What is it? It's Father's Day. This is, I don't know, the year 33 something or other, according to Teflon. It is June 18th. Father's Day here in America. I don't think they have fathers in England. You guys are just spawned out of a hole or something like that.
Are they papas?
It's just really unpleasant, isn't he? I didn't say that, didn't I?
Same
I
said place the tea comes from.
Honestly, and odd people.
Savages.
As you've now heard, we have special guests here today. We've got a Commander Byrne, a Commander Rini, and I'll let them speak eventually if I feel like it. We also have Nurgle and Trax here. Should we do like the classic thing where like our normal show where we just go around the table and let people talk?
Let's do like what you've been up to in game and out of game since last we all talked.
Oh Jesus. It's gonna be an 8-hour episode.
All of us?
All right.
So let's see. So I joined the game right around when core mining was added.
All right, let's start with Rini. Rini, tell us how you've been. Always ladies first. Let's hear what you've got.
You're welcome. So when am I going from?
Wait, he said I'm unpleasant.
I'd ignore everything Cheek says and go from yesterday, honestly.
Excellent. Everything's fine. It's been years since we've spoken to you in person. Everything's fine.
It's about 5 years, isn't it?
It is.
Well, wait a minute. By in person, you mean over the interwebs, right?
Same difference. Details. Still doing what I do. So I still live in the camera suite, and then my alt account is out exploring and she's never coming home, and life's good. Yeah.
Right on. What about you, Mr.
Wait, how far? Hold on. No, I have immediate questions. I basically get to chat with you guys when I wander into a stream or into a video premiere, which is like the middle of my work morning most of the time.
So it's awkward.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine because I think it's
irresponsible, young man, by the way, but carry on.
I work from home and I have often I don't have clients in the studio and I'm just like, oh, okay, here we go, YouTube. And okay, so first really important question. How far away do you guys actually sit?
We are really close. You can probably hear.
So you
hear
reach your... over your shoulder. It's not a joke.
No.
He is the fish on the stick is about 4 foot long, and he's on the end of it.
Yeah, you will probably hear my ridiculous voice echoing in Rini's microphone.
Yes, I apologize if you've got echo. Yeah. This is why you get echo.
Our screens are
touching,
essentially back to back. Yeah, we're sitting in kind of an L shape.
You're sharing a microphone.
and a leg. No, we're
cost saving.
We are the Barini Collective.
We are a little bit. Yeah. Sadly, this is the space that we have for the burp pit. Yeah. So we sit very close. But it is very advantageous when we used to do the live streams and I could hit him with a fish on a stick or a pool table. It used to work out quite well.
Yep. Magnificent. Okay. Sorry for the interruption. Carry on.
No, you're
very welcome. So that's all I got. So, Ree,
and at the moment you are at this precise moment, you are what were we doing yesterday, Ree? Okay, Rini stopped responding to commands.
What was I doing yesterday?
Wow.
What was I doing?
We're in the middle
yesterday?
Of an event right at this precise moment in actual.
Oh, what PitCon?
There we go.
Oh.
No.
No.
The pit trip.
Oh, the pit trip.
Wow. Shall I get this? I'll get this.
Pick it up. Pick up the ball.
So right at this precise moment, we occasionally run events in our Discord, as I'm sure you guys do, and we're out on what we call a pit trip, which is like a sort of mini expedition.
Yes.
So we'll basically take a. Do you guys have charabangs over there, or is it all coaches? I guess it's all coaches.
Making up words.
Isn't that the thing where it's a combination of a question mark and an exclamation point?
Do you know what? I think I might just start making up words and see if Chick notices. Do you guys have spundle flumps over there? So it's.
I do, and I took a dream, and I got rid of it.
Yeah, I was going to say. The moment I said that, he's going to answer. It's kind of like a little coach trip, I suppose. Everybody kind of, not everybody, and you know, anybody who wants to go piles onto my fleet carrier, and then we go out to, you know, we don't tell them where they're going.
Yeah, it's always a mystery trip.
You've got so many jumps. Basically, in essence, it's illegal in this country,
but all right. You do you.
Yeah.
We hijack them. We take them somewhere. Yeah. And then if they're nice and don't insult tea, we bring them back.
We don't really have a plan for what we're going to do when we get there, do we? So we kind of landed on a planet last night and everybody ended up racing SRVs down a hill that was far too steep to race SRVs.
So we go away for the weekend and, you know, we sort of get away from the Thargoid stuff. We thought we'd go away. I did find an awesome crater. How awesome was the crater?
I knew you were going to go on about the crater.
It's going to last me at least 6 months, this crater.
There was a valley on the edge of the crater. It wasn't that awesome. It was just a crater and it had a valley on it. But
my God,
it wasn't perfectly round. It was better than everyone else's crater. So we had to go to that one. It was awful.
It was a superior crater.
We need to find one of these steep hills, get all of the SRVs lined up, and then somebody needs to release a wheel of cheese.
It was pretty much that.
It was
very similar.
And we
can all chase down the hill with our SRV scoops open, trying to catch it.
There you go. Yeah, that's actually that. Write that one down.
It's a good
idea. We could literally do that. Okay.
We might
have just nicked your idea.
Yeah. So we're coming back this afternoon and bringing most people back if they remember.
Call
to
it
get
a chick chase.
Carry.
How about that?
Chick chase.
We'll say it's in honor of Loose Screws. It isn't because we stole it from you, but we'll say in honor of Loose Screws, we're going to have a chick chase. There we go.
All right. I like that. So that's sort of like what honor means, in England.
Yeah. We're honorably, for example, we're honorably
very
taking
imperialistic.
Your people, indeed, your country or any valuable artifacts.
You're taking them in honor. Anything you want, yes.
I think we'll appropriate that from you.
Yeah, you clearly can't look after it. We'll put it in the British Museum for you. All right.
That is English now.
Yeah.
That's about the way it goes. Oh, dear. So, yeah, that's what we're up to. I forgot about that.
Right on. Now, did that encompass Burr's turn too? I have no idea. I lost track.
That was
they
just
speak
Reenie.
As one. That was still Reenie.
That was still my turn.
That was still your answer.
Now you're up.
Okay, so that was yesterday in essence. So what am I doing in game at the moment? My God, Ree is very much the explorer out of the two of us. Exploring for me, and I'm sorry if I upset all the explorers, but it makes me want to eat my own knees. I find it dreadful.
That a saying in England? I want to eat my own knees.
It is in this house. I mean, you just kind of grab your own leg and start chewing your knees.
Eat knees. You guys have a terrible
not my favorite part of the game. I spend most of my time in the bubble, and what I really like doing is you know, BGS and every single asset of that. So whether it be combat or transport or I don't know, smuggling, anything like that, I love doing that stuff. And we've got a very active BGS group that also loves doing that stuff, so we're very, very active with that, and it's glorious. So that's basically my game. And then when I'm not doing that in game, I'm filming with the wife, because we have to generate quite a lot of B-roll every week, as I believe the kids call it. We call it footage, but whatever.
I call it porn. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's a different B-roll completely.
Yeah. That's a very different one. Definitely not only for news.
All right.
Footage, another anachronistic word.
Yeah.
All right.
I say tape all the time too, and I don't
tape.
Haven't touched tape in nearly 20 years.
That's like going back to the 80s.
Mm. Yeah.
We're all old enough to know what that is.
We are.
Especially, we won't talk about the next guy. No. What have you been up to, Nurgle? Let's
leave him alone. Speak.
I was going to throw me in the fire. It's just another weekend in paradise. I mean, it's Father's Day.
Wait a minute. You live in Alabama, don't you?
Yes. It's not paradise.
Alabama. Okay, I was so confused.
That's sarcasm, Chig. Keep up.
Sassacrap.
I have a question. At the risk of offending anyone, does anybody actually call Alabama Alabami? And is that offensive? Have I just offended everybody?
That's like an accent thing. Yeah, I guess.
It is not offensive, and yes, there are some who speak that way.
Right, they literally say Alabama.
Alabama, yes.
They can only be offended if they were smart enough to know what being offended was.
Okay.
Eek.
Now they're offended. Well done, Chig.
As a born and raised native Alabamian, Chig is absolutely correct. There are some of them who don't get that. Anyway, it's Father's Day. As I speak, my wife and my oldest son are in the kitchen cooking breakfast, so I may have to run out and put out a fire.
gotcha. We've insulted them too.
I am the cook. Both of them, I suppose if I wasn't here, they could keep themselves alive, but it would involve a lot of fast food. So this may be interesting. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
This may be interesting. And other than that, I've much like Burr just described, I am addicted to all things BGS. So I have been BGSing my ass off this weekend.
Brilliant.
Because we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on, and I've got a couple of side projects going. So I've been keeping myself busy. And tomorrow is a holiday, so I get a 3-day weekend this week. So I'm going to BGS my ass off tomorrow too.
Nice.
And I do want to have my my obligatory fanboy moment here and tell Burr and Rini that I absolutely enjoy the videos they produce, because Rini has a spectacular ability to get just fabulous shots. And I know that comes from a lot of practice.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. That's very kind. Thank you.
And Burr has an amazing ability to turn a phrase.
And where's Burr's words?
Right on its own head. Just drop it on the ground.
Yeah. Most of which we just found out he makes up as he goes along. And we're just, in the words of Wintermute Redneck Hillbilly Radio. So.
Yes.
I don't know. Last time you guys were on, did you call us honky donks or some crazy shit?
Oh, that's a rainy-ism.
Honky donks. They're a thing. Why are we even questioning? This isn't even discussion.
I don't believe you refer to Americans as honky donks, dear.
No.
Just to clarify, would you like to clarify what honky donks are?
Donkeys, but you don't call them donkeys; you call them honky donks.
Yeah, I love the way you say it. Talks like that.
It's so much better.
Yeah, asses.
Rini's got a bit of a thing for donkeys.
Yeah, because was it Tyra? He had a donkey in his backyard. He had a honky donk in his backyard, didn't he?
Yeah,
nibbling on a fence.
That was his mother-in-law. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Wait, how many layers of joke in are we? Because I always thought it was actually an animal.
It's a bit like a rubbish inception, isn't it?
Yeah.
Section.
do you know the Burr Pit? Actually, we actually have a sponsored dog. We've got a honky donk down at the Honky Donk Sanctuary called Pierre, and he is the Burr Pit sponsored honky donk.
This is true, right? He has to be kept in it because we've been down and seen him and spoken to the people there. He has to be kept in a separate field because he can't keep away from the ladies.
He's French. Of course he can't keep away from the ladies.
Yeah, my way, whatever. Yeah.
He's segregated with two other donkeys and they're segregated from the rest of the pack. They're a bit amorous. I didn't know that when I adopted him. We went down there and I was like, right, what honky donk has not been adopted? They said Pierre. It's like, right, well, we're going to adopt him.
That was the end of your questioning. You didn't bother asking why is nobody adopted? Is it because he's got no face or he's on wheels or something? No.
You guys could adopt me. Leader.
So, yeah.
I'm not sure which direction I'm taking this joke. Anyway, if you want an ass that is, I don't know, less amorous, I guess, maybe more, pick your direction here. Yeah, you could.
It's quite the humble brag. Less amorous.
We're 5 minutes in, and JN Trax has already said amorous ass. So.
And there's your episode title.
All right.
There we go. Right. There we go. You're welcome.
Well, there you go. Moving on.
Oh. All right. Let's tracks. What have you been up to since?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Gosh. I haven't been doing very much in game. I was sort of chasing down some, I was having some problems with the game, and I got in touch with Frontier support and I was working with them through it. And I complained a lot in our Discord, but I really don't want to get that specific because tech support is super hard. And really they got onto the right track, and I'm pretty sure I'm resolved, and I'm pretty sure it was my computer's fault at the end of the day. So that's all I'll say about that, I guess. But I don't know. I'm kind of in game. I've been in stasis because of the feelings that I have about what's going on with the Thargoid War, which I haven't been very secretive about and don't feel like continuing to complain about. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But it's fine because I've had a lot of work to do, and I've been working on an audiobook with a rather accomplished narrator and actor who's here in town on work, doing a play. He's the lead in a play that's showing here. And he got us on Friday. He got us like heavily discounted tickets to the show, which was really, really cool.
Oh, lovely.
And, we're only like halfway through the book. It's a little bit grueling work. He's fantastic at it though. There's like characters that he's doing, he's switching back and forth between all these different accents and stuff. And he's, it's really cool. But it's a lot of work. And
when you're doing something like that,
really keeping me busy.
Do they have to do how many? I mean, how many? If they're sort of reading a paragraph, how many takes do they have to do? Because I can't get through much space news without doing 57 million takes, honestly.
Well, he's fantastic. You know, this varies, right? Like, if he's fantastic, he's very experienced. You know, stage, screen, actor, a ton of audiobooks under his belt. He's very accomplished. So there are times where we'll get through several pages without stopping.
Wow.
But I'm managing it for him too. So occasionally, usually he catches himself if he's going to make a mistake. Occasionally I've caught him like, oh, that's you put a plural on that when it shouldn't have been or something. And I'm keeping track. I'm like keeping markers and things like that so I can return and listen to characters. If they haven't been around for a few chapters, we'll check back in on him and make sure he's getting their particular tonality to their voice the same, you know, because he's giving kind of a unique voice to everybody. And there's a bunch of the book takes place in Georgia, but then there's also people from New York and Boston and one person from England, and he's chewing his way through all that stuff. So I don't know, we're getting through like 30 to 40 pages in a 4-ish hour period. Where that's about as much as we have time for, because then he's got to leave and get ready for that. He's doing a stage play that night. And it's a lot of sitting, and I have to study that script right along with him, or I might miss something. And then he's going to be moving on to the next stop on their tour, and I won't have the ability to do callbacks with him. So if we got something wrong. So anyway, it's a little bit high stress, but it's he's a really good people, so it's been keeping my attention's been on that. So
wow,
yeah,
nice. Sounds exhausting.
A little bit. I don't have the harder job in the room, in my opinion, but it's still pretty tired at the end of the day. Yeah. So you know,
right on. Okay. Well, I guess then I'll take a turn, and I've got some random stuff.
Random crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Well first off. Yeah. We were going to kind of keep this low key and just kind of drop it on people. And then you went and dropped Craig right in general chat, showing that there's a podcast recording right now and who's in it.
So that's true, nice. But there's only a few people that can actually see this.
Channel, really? So. Okay. Well, no,
and I don't think any of them are
in general chat.
What?
Oh, you're right. I popped through. Yep. I talked to Craig while I okay. Never mind. Okay, so Discord error I made. That's fine.
that's nice. So everybody gets to see what's coming tomorrow.
Nobody will notice. They won't care.
That's hilarious.
Nice.
Wow. This is very stealth marketing.
Yeah. Very.
I'm really smart.
We'll just go with that.
So yeah, it's Father's Day. I'm putting off breakfast here until we get done with this. Then my family's taking me out rather than trying to burn down the house, which is nice.
All right.
What else? Working on in-game. I'm actually a Daxius, or as we like to call him, Daxy, or I don't know, fuckface. I'm not sure what we call him normally. But he roped me into going out to that consortium system like 4,500 light years away.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. A long way.
Yeah, you guys did a video on that system.
Don't blame it on us.
Like a year ago. No, I'm fully blaming you now. Because okay. Now I'm out here.
Jeez, boy.
I can't give Adachi's credit for anything. We'll never hear the end of it. So instead, I'm blaming you guys.
Okay.
And we're out here, we're playing with the system, exploring it, and all of that. It is a pain in the butt system, but I'm actually doing BGS. Nurgle should be proud because that's
immensely.
Here. The problem is
the wrong part of the galaxy, but I'm proud of you.
The missions are only on foot missions. You know how easy it is to pick up a bounty doing on foot missions. And the nearest like interstellar factors is like 3,500 light years away. Or you can send yourself to jail, which is like the same distance. So it's very, you got to be very careful with everything you do. But it's a lot of fun. We actually moved the needle a little bit and we're going to just, I don't know, see what happens out here. We have no idea. We had some random guy in our Discord see my fleet carrier in system. Some guy from Italy hopped into our Discord and just started asking us what our intentions are and all this stuff. But apparently he's got the same idea we do. So we're kind of joining some, pizza making guy. And
oh, amorous.
Yes, very amorous. And we're going to see what we can do out here. So that's what I'm doing rather than killing bugs for a change. And yeah, so that's okay. My life is BGS now. I don't know if I like it, but I'll keep doing it. So, but
you talk about it so like terminally, like you haven't been there that long. I was around when Audaxius quote unquote roped you into doing this. It really didn't take that much convincing. You were really just ready to fuck off into some other part of space.
Well, yeah. Well, I've done, you guys know I'm kind of an idiot and I've done like a ton of different stuff and have like all the elites and all that stuff. So I'm always looking for something different to do. So this, I'll admit, I remember when your video came out like a year ago, but I'm like, I don't care about some other faction and I don't even think I watched the video. And now, that this is on my lap, I go back and watch the video. I'm like, wow, if I'd have watched this video, I probably would have been out here a year ago. But from what I heard is it probably wasn't a good idea back then because there were very few missions when it first came out. And there just wasn't a lot to do out here. Now there's, the mission board has like 75 missions on it. So
it's just a weird curiosity.
They,
as far as we can tell, they haven't yet done anything with it.
But the thing is they put it in the game, a codex entry. It's like this massive thing for people that don't know who are listening and like, what are you guys on about?
Yeah, take us back.
Look at the Burr Pits video. Frontier put this new criminal faction in the game and gave them like their own. It's them and one other faction, like 4,500 light years from the bubble. It's system. What the hell system is this? NGC space 6188 space sector space LC-5 space C2-28. I'm sure everybody grabbed a pen and is ready.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so memorable.
It's around Steve. And it's out here and there's like 16 ground settlements, one asteroid base. There's all kinds of stuff out here, but it's in the middle of freaking nowhere and nobody knows why this faction was put in the game or anything. So it's kind of a mystery that they haven't done anything with.
They added it to the codex as well. So they made a point. The codex isn't small, but everything isn't in it. So they made a point of putting it in the codex.
Yeah, and had somebody actually read the entire entry. It's a whole audio reading of voiced. Codex. It's voiced. Mm. So it's
there must be a reason. There must be a reason they did that.
There's got to be. So anybody that wants to come out and join the fun, come on out. Me and Adaxius are out here. We've been trying to get some more people to join the party.
So what are you like? What BGS are you accomplishing? Are you trying to bolster this faction, this criminal faction?
There's two factions in system. There's, I don't know, Interstellar Mining Group or something, and the Consortium. Those are the only two groups in system. And the Mining Group was at 99%. Consortium was at 1%. So we decided, let's just flip that. So we're going to push Consortium up. And we've pushed it up about 6% in the last couple of days. So we're making a little bit of progress, but like I want to become, whatever the top thing, an ally with the Consortium too. But here's another problem with our wonderful game that we all love so much is, missions bug out. So then you got to abandon them and then your reputation with the faction goes down. So becoming moving up. I haven't even reached friendly. I get well into neutral, and then all of a sudden I'll have like three missions in a row fail. And I'm not saying, and it's not like user error. You know, I like show up, you got to retrieve such and such from, you know, like a crash site. Go up, the container's not there. It's just not there. Yeah. Nothing I can do. Nice. Log in, log out. And it's like, I just have to leave this one and then go to the next site. I've had where I've got to deliver something to somebody at a settlement. That person going to the staff list on a terminal, they're not in that settlement. Nobody to deliver the thing to. So goofy things like that where I have to abandon the mission. Then all of a sudden my reputation with the faction goes down. So I haven't even gotten to the point where, you know, maybe what do they call them? Are these breadcrumb missions pops up, you know, in the board. You know, I can't get
the chain missions or anything.
A chain mission, exactly. Nothing like that I'm able to get to pop up because I can't get my reputation high enough with them. And we want to be doing influence missions. So the ones I do complete, I'm doing influence. I might switch to reputation, get my reputation up first, then go back and do influence. I don't know. We're in the infancy of what we're doing out here, and I have no idea if it's going to work out or not. So that's kind of what's happening.
Yeah. You could also be taking missions for the other faction and torpedoing them, or I don't know. Some, it depends what kind of missions. So you're saying they're all basically Odyssey missions?
Yeah. There's no space missions.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to get like the assassinate the so-and-so. And then while you're there, the other team sends you a message. Hey, if you turn code on them, we'll give you a million credits or something.
I haven't seen any of that, but they do have like clean assassination mission where you go to a ground facility and you assassinate somebody and they say, but no violence can occur, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, I need to go kill somebody, but no violence. Well, let's see what happens if I go kill this person and nobody else in the settlement. I accomplished the mission, but picked up a bounty and there's no way to clear the bounty. So it's just, it's a big oof.
Because you get a bounty even if nobody sees you, right?
Yep.
For some reason?
Yep. Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Gosh.
This game.
This is probably Bruce Garrido's fault.
Yeah. Brutal. Yeah.
Remember him, guys? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, he went on to that F1 game. What does F1 even mean? I'm just kidding. We got race fans. I'm kidding. I know.
Jesus. Just a race on right now. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll offend the Burrs by making fun of T, but I'm not going after F1. I'll be back.
No, all the T offense happened before I managed to start the recording. So you're outing yourself now.
Well, let's talk about real quick why.
Okay.
Burr reached out to me because Nurgle gave an open invite to them on the last podcast. I'm assuming that's why this came in.
He was
in.
Responding to Nurgle's glove slap.
Yeah. And I mean, me and Burr, we communicate, I don't know, fairly regularly.
Communicate's a strong word.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we send messages occasionally, take jabs at each other. Yeah, something's in game and he sends me a cheese wheel, like a digital one, so I can't even eat it. So I don't know what's going on. It's all really weird. But we communicate occasionally and he reached out the other day and is like wondering if he could promote their thing they've got coming up here. It's what, PitCon? It's a tribute to Brad Pitt or something? What do you got going on?
Totally Brad Pitt.
In essence, I suppose it's a meeting of commanders.
Yes.
At the Bury base level. So we've called it PitCon just because we did a PitCon originally actually during lockdown over here, or actually just after lockdown. It was between lockdowns, wasn't it?
Well, it was the year that LaveCon.
You better explain this because I've got the mind of a fish.
It was the year that LaveCon got stood back up.
Yeah.
So everyone was booked in to go to LaveCon, and then 2 weeks before, the government then changed the lockdown restrictions and LaveCon then disappeared into the last 2 weeks of an extended lockdown. So at the very last minute, it all got stood down because nobody could go in person to gatherings of more than blah, blah, blah amount of people.
That's right.
So because that got stood down, but everybody was sort of still booked up and had accommodation and transport and everything booked, we decided to still go there, have a couple of days away. And the people that were there was about sort of 10 or 15 of us, weren't there, in total. We sort of just met up in a pub. So we decided that was kind of PitCon 1. And that was really just a meeting in a pub and hung out for the afternoon. And it was all socially distanced and correctly done. And we sort of did that. And then we got in person for us. We were lucky, our first ever chance to go to LaveCon in person was last year in 2022. Yeah, 22, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was wonderful. But then sadly, at the end, they announced they weren't continuing it for the foreseeable. So that got stood down. So
not because we were there, just as far as I'm aware. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
You,
but
you guys closed like it out.
Yeah.
So anyway, so in discussions with the lovely Scikit and Lave Radio, Lave sort of made noises about maybe taking up the mantle and seeing if they could do a sort of replacement convention for the community.
If you've not been to LaveCon, that's around 250 odd people, isn't it?
Yeah, about 200, I suppose, 250, yeah.
Yeah. Only having seen videos, but yeah, I can see sort of how big it is. It does strike me, though, that LaveCon would end and then Lave would start a con to replace it. Does that only sound weird because I don't have your accent or
no? Take a run at it if you want. So yeah, so that was
kind of where it got left.
Kind of the plan, wasn't it? Lave were sort of
looking into it, weren't they?
Because we literally spoke to Scikit and on the way home from LaveCon.
And we just sort of casually said, well, you know, if you need a hand arranging it, give us a shout. Anyway, that kind of went on.
There we go. Yeah.
Then nothing really happened. And then we met up, Scikit had a bit of a get together about 4 or 5 months later up in Bristol. And that was just another sort of small gathering in a pub. It was nice to get together. And at the end, we sort of said, oh, how are you getting on with replacing, you know, doing a fresh con? And she said, oh, well, nothing's really happening yet. And then on the way home from that one, we said, oh, you know, do you want us to look into it? So anyway, we started working with Scikit behind the scenes, trying to set up a really sort of big convention. And then it escalated.
Yeah, that was setting up, like getting a convention big enough to accommodate that many people and do something on the scale that we wanted to do it.
But we wanted to sort of...
We wanted to do a proper convention, didn't we?
Take it up a notch.
So we tried, we went all professional, which is quite unusual for us. So we did, what do they call them, pitch decks?
Yeah, we did all our pitch decks and everything.
So we did these things. You guys are probably familiar with pitch decks.
We did it all proper like.
Yeah, so we went to...
Just to clarify,
more words.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what a pitch deck is.
Okay.
Never touched one.
Okay, so it's basically, it's for anybody who doesn't know, it's basically in our case, we were looking to get sponsors on board to help pay for the venue and everything that we needed to fill the venue because it's horrendously expensive, So you have to go to these people and go, this is who we are, this is what we're doing, this is why it's beneficial to you, this is what you'll get from it, this is what the people attending the convention will get from it, and you do this whole kind of presentation thing. We did a number of those and sent them out to a number of people, and the long story short is that we just couldn't get enough money together.
Yeah, we did quite well. I mean, we got quite close, didn't we? So we started this about November, didn't we? Yeah. Bearing in mind the convention we were trying to look for July, and so we were sort of racing against the clock anyway. And by the time we got to sort of March, we secured some stuff, but we didn't really get it past the gate. And then it got to, you start getting into that territory. It's like, well, we could sort of, you know, you're starting to bank the Burpit on this, your actual in real life.
When Reese says bank the Burpit, she's talking about money.
You
get to the point where you've got to stump up or shut up, basically.
Yeah, and it started.
And the financial hit would have destroyed us.
It would have destroyed the pit.
I'm not kidding.
Wrong.
Yeah, it was lose the house kind of territory. So,
so sadly, in March, you know, with Scikit on board, we had to sort of agree that we were going to step back. ECM has taken up.
Very much so. ECM is
wonderful.
Very much.
They've now gone full.
It seems to be very
ahead.
Much the new LaveCon, doesn't it?
Yeah, ECM, we'd been in touch with them as well. They were kind of waiting to spark up their community meet. So they've gone full steam ahead, which is wonderful. But then because we'd done all this, because it literally took up every waking minute for about 3 months, didn't it? Because we'd got quite close, we'd got a venue and we got it all on board, we sort of licked our wounds for a week or two and then thought, well, hang on a minute, we could still maybe just do a pit meetup. So then the idea of doing one more Burpit focused as a community, take it back to its roots
much
a little
smaller.
Bit. But maybe, you know, try and get more than 10 people this time and do it at a really nice sort of swanky 4-star hotel, which we had booked, but just scale it down again. and we could take the financial cost of that ourselves and push that forward without risking crippling us. So then we decided to go ahead and rename it, go back with PitCon, and that's up and running for a month after. So we've got ECM, which is happening in August, and PitCon now happening in September. And it's going to be good. Yeah,
one day. Excellent.
Yeah. Where and what's the exact date of it?
So it's 16th of September. It's on the Saturday. Obviously, lots of people getting up there on the Friday night as well. But the event is all day Saturday, starting at sort of 9:30 in the morning, going through to when people can't stand up anymore, probably 1-2 o'clock in the morning. and lots of stuff planned. There's lots of stuff we haven't, we're going to sort of let sort of details go as we get nearer, but we've got some really good stuff planned. We have an indie developer. I don't know if you've seen Starship Simulator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The lovely Dan and Claire.
They live not too, in
not too far
US geographical terms. They're just down the road from us.
Oh, they're around the corner in US terms.
So yeah.
They're like 500 miles.
Yeah.
Less than that. Literally less than that. They're coming along, bringing the game along. They'll be doing a presentation to the room so everybody can literally meet the developer of Starship Simulator and fire questions at poor Dan.
And then we've got the wonderful Tokoso. We've managed to swing Tokoso.
Yeah.
And another musician that we've got in our community who sadly has got a wedding. We're trying to make the couple fall out so they don't get married, but that's not really working. But he's doing a
noble cause.
It's exactly. But yeah, we've got Tokoso doing a live set of music in the evening, a two-part set, one acoustic and not acoustic. I still don't know what the opposite of not acoustic is. Not acoustic.
It's just, everyone in the audience has to wear headphones because it's purely electronic. There will be no acoustic energy in the room whatsoever. It's a silent rave, actually. His second set's going to be a silent rave.
So the idea is that Tokoso will be live and Alzo will be playing
remotely.
Via a recording, recording, and Tokoso will be played. So there'll be a sort of a virtual duet kind of thing.
This sounds like some weird Matrix thing going on. I'm scared. Hold me.
With the sort of contacts that when we did all the pitch deck stuff, there were a bunch of people who couldn't stump up cash for the larger event, but we still had those contacts, and so we went back to them and sort of said, we can't do the thing that we wanted to do. We appreciate completely that what we're discussing now is way smaller nowhere near as big an impact that we were hoping to make for you. But if you want to be involved on any level at all, the door's open. Mm. And what do you know? They were very sweet. Mm. So we've got some amazing prizes to give away. Like, and I'm not overstating it. They are absolutely, like, for the size of the event, they are amazing prizes. Really amazing.
It should be a good raffle. So we're doing it for special effects.
Serious hardware, one of a kind items, and everything. It's really,
and
we're really
lucky.
Don't
need to be present to win, right?
No, that's definitely not how it's going to work.
Damn it!
Get on a plane, pig. Get on a plane.
Well, no, I'll tell you what. I've been over to England 4 different times.
It was on the news.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, because like the first time I was over there, you guys got like more snow than you'd gotten in a long time.
Right.
It's that cheese guy again. Pictures of 10. Sorry.
In Chig's defense, the charges were dropped.
Well, the restraining order wasn't, though. But I've been over there a few times. We were going to go over this summer at the end of June into July because there was a concert over there that we wanted to go see. And another buddy of mine was going to go to the concert and then an F1 race, believe it or not. And we were going to go over. But airfare these days is so freaking expensive. Yeah. Flying me, my wife, my daughter, and my daughter's friend would have been like $7,000.
Oh my God.
Which is, I have no idea how many ducks and chicks and donkeys that
doubloons.
Is. It's a lot of money.
Doubloons.
That's
yeah.
And we just couldn't do it this year. No. So otherwise, I'd be like, if it was airfare like it was even 5 years ago, I'd probably come over for PitCon.
Yeah, money bags wouldn't have shied away from that.
Yeah.
We do have a couple. We've got a couple of our commanders.
We've got two American
commanders coming over, which is just mind-boggling. But then I thought, because we've obviously got some, we're trying to get some good Burpit merch to give away alongside the other stuff we've got. So I'm currently downstairs, little sneak peek, I'm making hats.
They are awesome. They're awesome, but it's possibly one of the most mum and dad things we've ever. But go on.
Do you think it is?
Oh, yeah, but it's very us.
Yeah, but there's a burp. It's so mum and dad, it doesn't matter, does it?
So it's fine.
We kind of own mum and dad, really. So, yeah, I thought I'd do. So I thought it'd be nice if I could make something to go. This really does sound bad, doesn't it?
Yep.
I thought I'd make something to go in the raffle. So I got some really nice, like really high. I'm trying to make it high quality now. High quality slate coasters. And I thought I'd get the wireframe designs from the 1984 game.
Yeah, so yeah.
I have made up hand engraved and painted. I will send you a picture because they look better than it sounds.
Yeah, put some pictures in there. Just, put some pictures. We'll send you some pictures so you can
I've done hand engraved 1984 wireframe Elite Dangerous prints on these coasters, which
we should probably explain. Yes. This came about because the door number on the front of our house.
Yes.
You did that as well. That's on a massive piece of
We have
slate.
A Coriolis and a Cobra on our door number.
We've got a Coriolis and a Cobra on our door.
Wow.
Doesn't it use the Elite font as well, isn't it? In like Eurocaps or whatever it's called. So yeah, it's in
Nerds.
Anyway, but the point being when you were saying about the bigger prizes, we obviously will keep to the people who are going to be, you know, contributing to the raffle and the charity at PitCon. But I thought there are people that would love to come and obviously can't. So I thought this is the consolation prize. There will be a couple of, we're going to try and get three bits of Burr Pit merch, one of them being one of these sets of coasters, which will go up for raffle in the Discord. So that if you really couldn't make it, we will at least have some smaller consolation prizes that the general public can.
Please tell me that one of the potential prizes is a fish on a stick.
Oh.
Because if not, that's a missed opportunity.
Oh, it makes me sweat whenever you say
it. He's getting taken to the con, though. Fish on the stick is getting taken.
Yeah, I will actually. It's the safest I'll ever be, really, because, you know, she can hit me with a fish on a stick anytime she wants, but she rarely gets the opportunity to do it to the rest of the bird.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people owed, so it's coming with me.
Really picturing, like, it's an actual dead fish, and just the smell in your house is atrocious.
I refresh it every week. I get a new one.
Gotcha.
Only two ever take that to a dark place.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, if with the tea, can you even tell?
Oh.
Wow, you monster.
Honestly.
I saved it, though. I was saving it up the whole time for a really good one.
You do know that
I do the tea with something.
Just writing him down in the book.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do keep a book.
How are we spelling tracks?
Fish slaps ode.
Sign me up. Wait, what?
They're going to mail something to my house savages. And I'm going to get put on a list.
Thank you. I have another.
Wow. Big slaps all around. I like it. All
right. There we go. So if anybody wants to look it up, just go to theburpit.com/pitcon and you'll see it.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does sound like something horrible is happening.
I know better.
I'm afraid to Google it, to tell you the truth.
We internally, and I don't know if I should let this out into the public, but we internally have often talked about doing our own.
You definitely should.
Naming is a problem.
Geography is a real problem.
ScrewCon. That's, I mean, that's...
if we advertise for an event called ScrewCon, we're going to get some visitors we may not want.
You're going to get a very different clientele to that, I would
imagine. LooseCon isn't much better.
She's going to be right at home. Everyone else, yeah.
So there aren't any good naming options, and the geography of our country is such that there will just be so many flights. So many people will be asked, you know, what they're traveling for. That we can't escape it.
It's
not good.
We have to overcome the naming problem before we can get any further in this in this process.
We kind of looked at, I mean, you know, at no point are we in danger of doing a convention in America, by the way, that isn't, but we've casually kicked the idea around.
That was where I was leading this.
So when we looked at the UK and thought, well, where should we host it? We just kind of put our finger in the middle of the map and went, well, there, because it's, you know, it's kind of close to everyone, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's, and UK close is 200 miles, 300 miles, that's, you know, which is nothing in the US. I mean, where on earth would you put it?
Where's the middle?
You just couldn't, could you? It's just, you know, 60% of the country or 90% of the country's desolation anyway. And the small, I've seen Mad Max, I know what it looks like. And the
wait a minute,
the little slithers of humanity clinging to the coast.
Mad Max was in Australia, buddy.
Yeah, whatever. So,
tomato, tomato.
So yeah,
I'll go start with A's. It's okay.
Well, we'd host it in England, probably at your house, is my guess.
T-Con.
Hey, yeah. Con.
Oh,
this is like this thing. Like I'm reminded of I like to quiz my daughter with random, you know, science or math facts that I think are interesting, right? Like what's the closest planet to Earth? And, you know, she's likely to say either Venus or Mars, but the correct answer, if you're averaging the distances, is Mercury, because Mercury just never gets that far away, even if it's on the opposite side of the sun, right?
Oh, so you by the cheeky same bastard.
Well, it's just the truth. So
that's like why Venus is the hottest planet in the galaxy, because it stays average, whereas Mercury's super hot on
Mercury
one side,
cool
on the other.
Right, goes down on the other side. Well, okay, so but now I'm thinking, like, if the loose grooves did a con, if we put it in England, by average, we might all be closer to that than we are to each other. Wow. I don't know. Whoa. I haven't done the math, but
your math is way wrong, but it'll work.
I don't think that's correct.
You're wrong.
My fleet carrier is called the BPFC T Nation, by the way. Don't ever land on it. I mean, seriously, you're not welcome. It's the T Nation.
You'd be swilling in the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Now, how, serious question, how do you drink that crap? No, just kidding.
Listen, I've listened to Loose Screws a number of times, and at least twice, I think you've spoken about cheese that has got bugs in it.
Oh God, yes.
Oh, yeah,
but those are all from either
dirty
Iceland
little man
or something like that. None of that originates here.
Those are not American cheeses.
Yeah, American cheese is Kraft Singles, motherfucker. Oh, language.
American cheese is like it's like a different state of matter. It's neither solid nor liquid.
It comes in an aerosol can, doesn't it? I mean, you put cheese in an aerosol can. What is wrong with you?
Faces.
Savages.
It's a processed, pasteurized, cheese-like object.
Oh,
it's so good.
Weed killer is what it is.
You know the rest.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We got the plug in there. Should we do like some actual elite talk? You guys want to talk about the new Hunter variant or anything? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, somebody needs to ground me, I think. I'm...
Well, go on.
Okay, so here's what I picture Burr and Rini as. Unassailably cheery.
He beats people with a stick.
But with such a smile.
Yeah, he always is smiling.
Unassailably cheery. We are also realists, but yeah, do carry on. Yep.
I guess I had to present a question. Well, okay, so I think as I try to not yell about my perspective that much, because I think for one thing it's much too narrow to be particularly interesting. But like when I do talk about it lately, it's like a huge roller coaster of now the sort of main plot of the game is Thargoids. But in my opinion, like all the combat has just vanished. And over the past couple of months, you know, we figured out that how to control the alerts. No more invasions are happening galaxy wide and things like that. And I feel this like pause is all happening and like nothing's going on and stuff like that. But you know, I get that everything that was added really made interacting with Thargoids at all accessible to basically everybody. And I know there's still some people that are just like the very existence of a hyperdiction is too much for them. And I get it. There's a whole other side of the bubble for those people, I guess. But anyway, so I just want to know, like, what I want to talk about other feelings about it, because clearly not a dead game. even if I'm a little annoyed by the way some things have gone, and there's still plenty of time to turn it around and you surprise me with a act three and stuff. So anyway, what do you guys think?
Okay, well, Ree's pointing at me for this. So there's two points to that. Can I just address the unassailably cheery aspect?
No.
it's not very often we get to address that. So we quite often get accused of being
shills. You're
shills. Shills. White knights.
Yeah. We get called for being positive all the time. So yeah. Witch-based news and most of the videos that we do generally report what is going on. Right. Yeah. There's very little. I slip opinion in there every now and then, but I don't. It's not something I like doing. It's not something that I find. It's not because it makes me uncomfortable. I just don't enjoy it. So very rarely do we pull out a soapbox, stand on it, and go rap about anything. Yeah. And so the answer I always come back with is we're not positive. We're not unassailably positive, but we're not negative. And the two are different. What we try to do is understand, and I know this is an errand to nowhere, but we try and understand why Frontier make the decisions they do, or why the game is doing what it's doing, or you know, why it might be broken in one fashion or another. Or do you know what? Does that make sense?
That's the short path to heavy drinking.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I suppose we just try and be sort of realistic and fairly mature about it.
Yeah.
But do not mistake that for not getting annoyed at the game, and do not mistake that for not
absolutely
seeing
have opinions.
Its
so,
problems. And,
for example, if you were to ask me where I'm at with the Thargoid War right now, the last serious interaction I had with the Thargoid War was not immediately after the Glaive was introduced to the game, but when the Glaive started to move out of the Maelstrom systems, when it started appearing in hyperdictions and interdictions outside of a Maelstrom, I tried to get to a Revenant mission. I wanted to get to a Revenant mission. I was going one jump. I wasn't in a ship. This was at the point as well where we didn't really know how to deal with the Glaive or how you can survive a Glaive encounter. And I was going one, I think I was going one jump or two jumps, something like that. I couldn't get to the mission that I wanted to participate in. I couldn't actually get to the Revenant mission. And so at that point, I thought, I'm going to put the war down for a while and walk away, because I was frustrated as hell. I just couldn't get to the content that I wanted to get to because of this new ship that I kind of said something. I think it was in Witch Space News, wasn't it? I said something in Witch Space News that if this thing, because it's designed to stop you, hold you in place, and then kill you if it can. And I said at the time on Witch Space News, if this thing makes it out of the Maelstrom and makes it into regular space, it's going to be a problem for an awful lot of people. Because there are, you know, for years and years and years, people who aren't proficient with Thargoid combat have been able to go through Thargoid space and see Thargoids, but their entire interaction has been in the rearview mirror, and they're comfortable with that. You know, they can get away.
Yeah.
They know they can get away, which is great, because you can get scared, and you go, oh, blimey, that's a bit scary, but fantastic, I can hyperspace away. The Glaive stops that, unless you know exactly what you're doing. And you're suitably equipped for it, the Glaive will eat you for dinner. It certainly did at that point. I haven't bothered trying to interact with it since. So where we're at with the Thargoid War at the moment is a little bit frustrated, I think it's fair to say. I like the Titan scanner. I've got one, but I haven't bothered trying to use it at all, because I just figured I was going to get glaived or interdicted so many times that it just got. I'm not an AX player at all. I've done a little bit of AX, particularly since it got easier after HIP.
Well, I need a little clarification. When you say get glaived, are you getting pole armed or 80s movie glaived?
Oh my god.
Yeah,
did you 80s, see
I'm gonna
them,
say 80s movie. Yeah.
Did you see them stir me up in a pot and pour me out in the Lave Discord a week or two ago?
No.
They summoned me over there just to basically start up what happened on the podcast again, and everybody let's get tracks wound up anyway. It's fine.
So
remains
yeah,
to be
so
seen if I'm right or not.
So yeah, and also the like Rhee and I obviously talk about this stuff incessantly in this house, and the whole Thargoid War thing, I love the fact that they're doing it. I think it's great. It really, you know, it's really, I've never seen a live service game do something quite like this before, where they've got an actual dynamic invasion, although there might be a degree of lever pulling going on in the background, we don't know, but there certainly appears to be a dynamic invasion going on. But the time scales involved are just very frontier. Their development cycles are glacially slow. So we were sort of smacking ourselves on the head the other day, weren't we? Because HIP 22460, he says, looking at the writing on the wall. Yep. Was 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Is that all?
It does feel like this has been going on for two years.
Yeah. It does feel longer, it's just kind of like, oh my God.
I suppose, you know, my worry is, I don't know, it feels like we've had, it's very difficult, it's a difficult one to balance, isn't it, to keep the hype going, to keep the community looking forward when your whole focus is on one storyline. And I, like Burr said, I love the storyline, I love the fact that that's got so much going on, but at the cost of everything else slightly, so everything else has just got parked. And there was so much excitement, say, even, I don't know, even 6 months ago, of like, Thargoids on foot, are we going to see them scurrying around? Are we going to get them in our, are you going to see them out the corner of your eye down on one of these, you know, when the Revenants came in, we were all watching that trailer, really hoping you were going to see something just creeping or a leg disappearing around the corner. All that hype in the last, say, 2 months or so, 2-3 months, feels like it's dropped off a cliff. And I'm really worried that the cadence that, and I do understand it's obviously cost, it's corporate, it's development size team, there's a lot of moving parts.
It's
that
also giving people an opportunity to see it, because it is a dynamic.
It is. I think the pace is, right, they don't mind that. I think they're not inclined to increase that pace, because there are people who don't get to play for two straight weeks or something, and that pace becomes appropriate for a certain segment of the audience, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's fair enough. But I still worry that if we are going to get Thargoids on foot, by the time we actually get them in game, people are going to be so almost apathetic towards the war. They're going to have sort of lost that enthusiasm. They're like, oh, Thargoids on foot. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I can't be bothered to fight through the glaives. I mean, the glaives are the first time in 5 years that I have slammed my keyboard down and rage quit the game. Oh, I have never done that, ever. And I'd had an, you know, I mean, I'm the real casual. Well, I live in the camera suite, so none of my ships are engineered, well, apart from one combat ship, which is rather glorious. But apart from that, you know, I am a really casual sightseeing player, and I've always been able to sightsee. I've always been able to sneak in. I've got a little dolphin with a few heat sinks. I've been able to sneak around Thargoid space. Once that glaive came out, I mean, forget it. I was just toast, and I couldn't get anywhere.
You just died over and over again, didn't you? It was horrendous sitting here watching it as well.
And hit me up, I'll fly escort.
I was about to say, like, I'm feeling responsibility here, either to just run, like, just be the pilot on your camera ops, or let's do a combined event, and we'll just take you through it and build you a glaive resistant ship, because
there you go. You're very
sweet. I love them.
I'll tell you.
I suppose it's the first time. I just feel, you know, if you look at the between sort of YouTube comments, which you don't take, you know. You've got to keep those in perspective, obviously.
But I go with Reddit instead.
Yeah, it all just feels a little bit.
Does he just mean that he means that this content's not available? That's what he means by Reddit. time locked joke.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, it does. It just feels a little bit. It feels a little bit more subdued and a little bit quieter than it should for such a big event happening. And that worry is probably too strong a word, but it's. Yeah, it concerns me a little bit.
Get into a little bit. What you said is, you know, kind of seeing it from FDev's perspective, and we lose a little bit because we're into this game so deep, you know, the overall player-based perspective. Yeah. Because, I mean, I remember when I first started playing this game and I saw a non-human signal source for the first time, just seeing the signal source, I'm like, I got to get out of this system.
And it's like, high wake.
So, I mean, looking at the galaxy map has got to be terrifying for some players. And even hearing you struggling with the glaive, you know, we've already come to, you know, we've kind of settled in where I'm just bored with them. So I'm 5,000 light years away from the bubble doing something else, because there just isn't much to do with that because of how deep I am in it. I just don't know how to, you know, be empathetic to other levels of play because just haven't been there in so long, you know. And I understand FDev is trying to design a game for so many different, you know, from full casual, hardcore that doesn't do combat and but wants to look, you know, it's I can understand the joke, and I don't mean to sound like a white knight, because in our Discord, we've got a saying now, TFG, that we just use for everything. You know, this fucking game is what we put something goes wrong. We just put TFG, and that's what we use now to explain any kind of weirdness or difficulty or anything. We just go, well, let's just move forward, and we try to stay, you know, grounded within ourselves. It's just like, you know what? I'm going to go with the saying I've used in the past. Anything they add to the game, I love, but it's never going to be enough. In this case, it might be too much in some instances with that glaive because it is so aggressive.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like I know I've said to Ree on a number of occasions, particularly when the war first started, oh, this is going to be great for the loose screws guys, because you know I hear you talking about AX combat week after week after week, endlessly for hours. Oh, it's dull. Oh, it's so dull. No, but do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's very much your, you know, it's very much one of the things you guys really enjoy. So I was really excited for you when the war really kicked off. But like, if you're at the point where you're kind of like, oh, for crying out loud, it's not, something's not
it's nuanced, chilling. Though, right? Yeah. So, because that's the thing, like, I don't get shot down by the glaive. But it's still annoying. And the reason it's annoying for me isn't the same reason that it's annoying for a player who finds it an impassable baddie, right? Mm. But because they added the it destroys your guardian modules thing, we have this bifurcation of what we can do. As if we're choosing to fight Thargoids, we have to pick a path. Right. And so if I'm going to go do AX power up missions, I'm going to encounter a few things. So I have a very specific ship build that I need, or a few narrow ones. And I can't take that ship and then turn around and fight an interceptor with it. Yeah. And likewise, if I'm going to go fight an interceptor, I can't encounter a glaive or an Orthrus, because they will turn my whole ship off in a way that makes me ineffective. So I have to choose. And that was like my deepest fear about where the plot was going to go, right? When the 22460 event happens and we have the anti-guardian field, it was like, this is the, and then they took away all our good guns button in the plot. So how far is that going to go? Is that going to continue? Because that is the other options. Like, you can make a new bad guy that's harder in a way that is a continuation of past the Hydra, or maybe it's just a different thing that we just have to, maybe it's not harder than the Hydra, but it's different in some way. Or we go this other path. I delete all the stuff you did. So it's basically, it's the reboot you back to level 5 or whatever. And now you have to fight with totally new equipment or something like that and find out something new. So that's kind of the path we're on. They can always flip the other lever. You know, we can always have who knows which power in the game, like create something that repels the anti-guardian field, and the arms race sort of continues back the other way. But that isn't appearing to happen right now. So I just don't know, because there's so many ticks in each column. I love when this all happens, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like a board game overlaid onto the, and I don't know if I'm making too much of a big deal out of it, because what do? They just sort of combined BGS and power play and the Thargoids into one thing. And it's almost, once you see it, it's almost obvious and brilliant at the same time. It's like, why didn't I think of that? And of course, this is the way it should have been. And so I like that. And then I don't mind that it appears to have a mind of its own, but obviously there's some lever pulling, because you also can't play test this without revealing the secret. So I get that. But then why aren't they adjusting? How come as soon as we discovered tissue sampling, all Thargoid combat ended because everything else became irrelevant? And it's like, is that really what they wanted? They haven't pulled that lever since then. So I just keep my, you know, a tick in one column and a tick in the other column, and I just pile up, and I'm not sure how I feel. So
My worry as well with on foot Thargoids and the way things are going at the moment is, assuming on foot Thargoids are even coming to the game.
Yeah, I mean, we're all assuming that, aren't we?
Honestly, don't know at this point. Yeah. But if they're inside the Titans, is getting to the Titan going to be too difficult for most players?
High barrier to entry at the minute. That's,
yeah.
At the moment, it would be. Now,
yeah,
things may change, but at the moment,
well, I think we're about to see. Like, yeah. As we speak, the community goal asking for Titan samples has just kind of kicked off.
A
day or two ago, and so we're going to find out real quick if there's a huge, huge difference. I assume there will be between the player turnout from this and any other CG, right?
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about on
Witch Space on Friday. Like normally you'd expect sort of 3,000 or 4,000 people, I suppose, involved in a CG. But the current one, last I looked, was about 300 people, I think.
Yeah. 300, 400 people. I've got Inara on right now.
I was going to say, what's it up to now?
312 contributors. And then what's the other one? It's 188. Yikes.
That's very, very much.
Assuming, even if there's no overlap, that's dramatic.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic drop off.
I mean, that's the thing, though. The whole Titan gathering samples is just sneaking in there and trying not to be killed with a very specialty built ship. It's like, it's very niche.
The equipment you've got to have to get that far as well. And then once you've got the thing, it's caustic. So you've got to have caustic cargo racks anyway, and then it's vulnerable because it's a commodity. It's not even materials. So you've got to survive. You've then got to survive the journey out to get to the place where you've got to deposit them. And having if you've been in there for it's difficult to get in there. Once you get in there, if you're in, you want to make the most of it. So if you're in there for an hour, getting all that stuff, and then you on the way out, you slip up somehow and you get killed and you lose it all.
And that's in a sense the harder part, getting out. Yeah. Having gone in and out myself a few times, getting out is often harder.
Yeah.
And my worry, I suppose, is where people who aren't super proficient or super engineered will be going through that process and going, nope, that's not for me. And then whenever something interesting, if Thargoids on foot
worry, they're not going to come back.
Just won't bother going back because their experience last time was so horrific that they just, if I wasn't doing what I was doing, if we weren't doing the YouTube side of things, and I was just a casual player, I'm not sure that I would bother either. When you've been kicked in the nuts so many times trying to get to something, why would you, if you've got limited play time, why would you carry on?
Exactly.
And if they, it's so funny because I, as a Thargoid battler or whatever you want to say, I have gone through all of this sort of, what people consider grind, although I think the Guardian ruins are like some of the most fun stuff in the whole game.
But
I've gone through the whole thing to build up all this stuff and, defeat the mighty Hydra. And then, so this doesn't seem onerous, right? To get the equipment that I need to get into the thing. But obviously that's my perspective. Now, from the perspective of somebody who thought that was onerous to begin with, this is more so. And then maybe they don't feel like checking it out. Like when the Titan finally got put in and a bunch of people hadn't bothered really messing around too much with the Maelstrom until then, because there was nothing really you could do in there. So then it was like, well, shoot, now the Titan's there. I guess I better go do this. So there's a slice of the population which decides, okay, this is enough interest pressure for me to go through the unlocks. I'm thinking of like Colin Ford, right? All right, I guess I'll finally unlock the thing, right? And then now we got tissue samples. Well, now I got another thing I've got to try to do, and we've upped the ante a little more. And likewise, that pressure could build sort of the other direction. It just becomes a bigger and even more insurmountable thing to start from scratch. And all of the plot keeps piling up, putting more pressure onto this thing that you found frustrating to begin with. And what else is there? An election story? What you can't interact with?
I know. Oh, come on. Elections are exciting.
I know. I mean, the CG this week, I mean, it's just for a couple of paint jobs. That's not. I don't know what an appropriate reward would be. But I mean, we've had
imagine the rage if there was something serious, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point, actually. Oh, okay, fair point.
But then Psychic had it dead to rights there. Psychic was like, it better be a paint job. And I could hear it in her voice, too. It was like, yeah, yep, you're, she's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, you had a blood-curdling thought the other day, didn't you? Like, say you follow the... Because we were always trying to sort of follow these scenarios through, aren't we? It's like, right, what are they doing? Where are they manoeuvring us? Where's this all going to take us? And where's this going to end up? And da-da-da. And, you know, none of us... We're all assuming these Thargoids on foot, but nobody knows this for definite. And you were like, brilliant, we get through this and however many more things we've got to grind, you know, for want of a better word, but grind through now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then... to get you, so we can all then open up the custard pot. We can get through the custard pot, but then the only way you can get out...
That's what Marie calls the opening in the top of the Titan.
I got it. Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Yep.
Aptly named.
And then
Gargantuan,
you need to...
Gargantuan Cloaca is what we go with, but yeah. Go on.
Yep.
And do a load of new suit engineering.
Yeah, supposedly you get through it. You now need a caustic resistant suit.
Right. Yeah, that's fine. You can bet on it.
Oh, you got the caustic resistant suit. Well done. Oh, your guns have melted.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't touch any on-foot stuff for the longest time because it was sort of entirely isolated from the rest of the game until these AX restore missions. And now I'm like chewing through and upgrading my stuff. And it's like, okay, I can kind of do this with the fun gameplay, so it's all right. Boy, if they pull a and then we turned off your guardian weapons to me... When the Thargoids show up, if they say your engineered Maverick suit no longer is effective, I'm going to feel it there, aren't I?
You'll turn up at Frontier HQ and it'll take you 8 seconds to get there from home.
Well, PitCon wasn't enough for me to buy this plane ticket, but I'm here on your door now.
Turns out I can run across the sea if I'm angry enough.
But to put a positive spin on it, restore missions on the ground, they did generate a lot of interest in Odyssey type content. I mean, we've been having a lot of fun doing them, but we've done enough that when they fail, it's just so freaking frustrating. You know, because they're like most missions in this game, that a fair percentage of them just bug out somehow, where you can't complete them or you can't.
This is the AX restore missions,
it just won't progress or something. The kind of thing that I kind of thought a couple of dot patches would have addressed, but anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they are fun as hell when they're working good.
They are good. And it's spooky environments. It's the things that they've done well all the time through this game.
Yeah. Yeah, they are great. They are great, those AX, but they really are. The AX restore missions, they are genuinely really, really good. I really love them, but last time I tried, I couldn't get to them.
It's tricky getting to it, isn't it?
In a group, they're just, each one seems to go a little bit differently. Sometimes you get in and out, no problems. Other times it turns into a shooting match. Other times I land my Type 10 on Data and kill him with my landing gear. You know, you just never know what's going to happen, so it's fun.
It seems like you knew about that.
It was an accident. I swear to God, it was an accident.
I don't know, you kill one person once and all of a sudden you're the bad guy.
I know. Yeah. And one stadium on another player and they hate you forever. Yeah. It's insane. So, but I don't know. I suppose, Father's Day stuff is on the agenda. We can kind of wind this down. Anybody have any final thoughts or anything?
I have one more thing. This might be good to conclude is like, if you had sort of a dream way that this whole plot could go, do you guys want to talk about that a little bit? Like, is there something in your mind where it's like, this would be a really fun way for the plot to go? And I don't know if resolve is the right word, but is that cool discussion?
Yeah. So I would, if I had my way and I could throw dice at it now, I want to get to the Titans. I want it to be easier to get to the Titans, but I want to get to the Titans. I would like to go in there with a squad of four people on foot, more if possible, but the game won't handle that, so let's not get silly. So if I could go in there with a squad of four people and there was like an alien hive kind of thing.
Teams.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God, you're right, Trax, he is an idiot. I love you, Chig. I don't mean cheese and all.
Ryan.
So yeah, I'd love to go through the center of the Titan, and you know, I presume we'll get to the center and there'll be a squibbly wibbly thing in there that you've got to kill or switch off or murder or whatever, and that will bring down the Guardian field. That would be my guess. But also, I would like to see Thargoids on foot making it to surface settlements. I don't want them to be restricted to a single encounter inside a Titan. I want to see a, you know, an 8-foot alien insect with slavering mandibles running around a surface settlement in the dark and not knowing where it is. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And then go back and revisit surface conflict zones and sort them the hell out, because I hate them. Sorry.
Nicely slipped in there, Bert. Nice. Well, that was subtle.
I don't hate them. I just wish they were more Operation Flashpoint and less Unreal Tournament.
That's fair.
Yeah, it is fair.
You'd have to ditch respawning or something.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. Well, I've got some ideas on how you do it, but that's a much longer podcast. So, yeah.
Right on. Who else has ideas they want to talk about? You all know I do.
You know, Burr Pit makes me think of finding a gassy baby and smacking it on the back. You know, I am picturing
burr pit.
Yeah, burp it.
Yeah,
if there's a gassy baby, you must burp it. You know, kind of old Devo song. That's what I'm picturing right now.
You went to burping a baby instead of barbecue pit?
Burp it. I don't know.
Burp it.
I'm going to burp it.
Seriously wrong.
Can you imagine how often Burr says he wishes he'd called himself in the channel something different? Can you imagine now?
The Steve pit would be much better, wouldn't it?
Steve's pits.
Damn Steve, he's the worst.
We way back in the beginning in HIP series of numbers, you know, when this all started, we had speculated when we were talking about this on the Loose Screws that there was going to be this whole combined arm things where you had to get in on the ground and get a squad into the base to shut off the Guardian field so the ships could then come in and, you know, and win a CZ.
Yeah.
And if they ever do get that type of thing going, like you were talking about with the Titan, that's an awesome combined arms piece of gameplay. And if they're not headed towards that, FDev, this is your free advice, head towards that.
Yeah.
But you've got to do it right, and you got to get the bugs out of it. Jeez.
Yeah,
That's tricky, because it's a live game. How do you play test it well enough to do that? So I try to, I whine a lot. I try to have some forgiveness about initial bugs. If they're going to follow with a couple of dot patches every time, I'm going to be like, you know what? I like the surprise. I like the not revealing the plot ahead of time and stuff. And if we can pretty quickly back it up, I don't really mind. I mean, this is an old game, and there's code debt and all this stuff. And I'm trying to be sensitive to that, because I still don't want to find some other game to play. You know, I'm not compelled to go trying out a bunch of other space games. So this is where I sit. I don't know.
I hear you completely. It's kind of like they do. I mean, they do leap on some of the bugs straight afterwards. You know, you always get like a patch, you know, probably half a week later or a week later or whatever, but there's always something that ends up hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. And like in the case of the Surface AX missions, it's clearly their turn at the moment. Yeah.
And if they want to keep having one of these dot patches every 2 to 3 weeks and fixing, you know, random small errors, please, more of that. I will happily sign up for that every couple of weeks. I like to see bugs fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think overall that'd be it's not an easy win, because obviously the amount, I've got no concept of how much that takes to, you know, the dev time, and you know, I don't think it's a huge team. But the win that you get from the community when they do that is huge. The goodwill and the win on the community side. So I'm with you. I think that's
in FDev fashion, they have to do it right though, because you know this last one, which was what, 1602, that they advertised 15, as quality of life. Yeah, they advertised as quality of life improvements. And there were no quality of life improvements. They were bug fixes, which is great.
Yes. Which did enhance my quality of life.
Which does enhance your quality of life, but please don't call those quality of life
improvements. You're going to set Alec Turner off, man. Just
oh, my God. Well, let's
force his way in here. Yeah.
Poor Sally. I don't think she'll walk into that one again. I think that was...
Just
rather unfortunate.
To draw the frame around that, though, I think they must feel okay having that be the talk of the town when an update comes out instead everything didn't work and this new bug was introduced and so on and so on. Like, if we can be quibbling about Frontier's language not saying they broke everything, it's like, well, now I'm in my home. I live here now. Fine.
I don't want to make it sound like that's a bad place to be, because it's not. The alternative is horrible.
Oftentimes I wonder if, you know, it's just an English versus American language barrier where they just say things slightly different, but it's not. They just are really bad at communicating.
Well, who was it that said the English and the Americans are two great people separated by a common language?
There's that.
I would attribute that to whoever said it, but I don't remember. So,
well, you just did. Duh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an original.
We haven't got long to wait for 16 now. So, I mean, there's going to be more than just the thin bit.
That's a good thing, too, is how fast these are coming out right now is rather impressive, fast, in my opinion.
Mm. So that's going to be an interesting one, too.
And then the mini patches in between, you know, I don't know if they got some new Eager Beaver, you know, programmer who's also fixing stuff and just jumping on stuff. I just don't
conspiracy. Garrido switches jobs and suddenly this starts happening. What's going on, Bruce?
What do you have against Bruce?
I don't know. I almost want him to like respond. I know he won't, but like,
you
come
on. Under a bus and you're dragging him behind it in this show. I don't know what's going on. It's weird.
We've been lucky enough to meet Bruce a couple of times, and he's very, very funny.
He's one of them
who deigned to talk with us on a personal level, and
but no, apparently he's responsible for all the game's woes, according to Drax.
I sincerely miss him. You know, the last few streams where he's just not been there, and I sincerely miss him, and I think that's why it was on my mind. And I just, you know me, I like to throw shade. I do. I think that I like what you said about like all the way where the plot could go. I noticed the mention of the anti-guardian field gets turned off. So, you know, check mark there. Something has to give.
But imagine these glaives, how easy they'd be to kill if you had four Gauss cannons. They'd just be obliterated.
Exactly. And so something has to give. I want to think there's this business with Salvation's consciousness being attached to the Guardians. If in my dreams, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, but it was some time ago, like in my dreams, like something like what you talked about happens, but there's a plot twist and the seeds are planted. I think they have to do something with it or they wouldn't have planted those seeds, but there's a plot twist. And at the point where who knows what's, you know, the war seems to be turning one way or the other, either we're about to get dominated by the Thargoids again, or we're about to end it all in our favor, the Guardians reemerge, but now it's combined with the Salvation consciousness and we're fighting like a collective, like the Borg, but it's made out of Guardian parts and it's Salvation. Yeah. And suddenly this is the thing that I really, really want. And I don't know if it could ever happen, but suddenly we have to combine forces with the Thargoids to fight a third enemy, or another enemy, I should say.
I was gonna say D2 is the loose cannon in all this as well. Who knows?
Yeah. I just like imagine you a conflict zone where the Thargoids are coming are green, and we're fighting something else. Oh, I have chills.
There's a reason.
On foot or not, you know.
There's a reason she can, in terms of their plot progression, there's a reason she can talk to them.
It has to be.
She's not just always in that interesting anyway. There's a reason she can talk to them. So,
Lacutus of Salve is coming. Is that where?
Lacutus of, what do they call him? Daddy? Anyway.
Daddy Savlon.
But that's right. Both of those plot points are there. We've spent enough time with them that there's no way that doesn't get used. It would be a waste. Just like if we don't have a unshipped Thargoid being shot by on foot commanders, isn't it sort of a waste of an entire years of development?
Yes.
But who knows? But it seems like it would be a waste. So
They're not going to do all that to then put it in the bin. I mean, it just...
Well, it wouldn't make the only caveat to that being all these decisions are in the hands of the boardroom and not the developers.
Yeah, so true, but it just...
For your joy.
Put it all in the dustbin. Yeah. I can't say
exactly. Money withstanding. Okay, I think I'm definitely being told that we should wrap it up. this has been so much fun, as I knew it would be. Let's remind all about PitCon and everything before we sign off.
Thank you very much. So it's the Saturday the 16th of September
in Nottingham, UK.
In the UK, in a very nice posh hotel, actually.
Yeah. Tickets are on sale.
Tickets are on sale right now.
I thought he was going to say avoid the sherry. I thought he was going to go really British then. Terribly British.
Did you sign up for the archery tournament?
Wow. You know, Nurgle does coach archery, so he can come over there and be taught by actual archers, because that's all you guys do, right?
Teach them how to roll properly.
Definitely.
I can show up in my Errol Flynn costume and tights.
Those of you younger than Nurgle, Errol Flynn was an actor way back in the day.
Wow.
Played Robin Hood.
Thanks, man. Should be a good day. It should be a good day. And hopefully,
lots of great prizes, lots of surprises we haven't talked about yet.
Yep.
And you'll find tickets at theburpit.com/pitcon. If you are interested in going, feel free.
Indeed.
Yep. Nice.
Wonderful.
I'm just going to add two quick things. A, to the rest of the crew, we just kind of tried to keep this small so it wouldn't be, like an hour and a half long. it would have been probably pretty dang much longer. But tried to keep it, kind of concise so we could actually get the information in. And second, it's good to talk to you guys again. It's been a while. It's like sitting down with old friends. It's so much fun.
Let's not go as long
between next time.
Yes, yeah. Please. Yes, anytime. Please. Honestly,
it's
anytime.
Been a pleasure.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So. Wonderful.
Anything new, Nurgle?
It's been really fun. Y'all are welcome back anytime you want.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. We shall sign off and say goodbye and go and have a nice cup of tea, I think.
Gross. I'm going to have a big cup of coffee and it's brown water with flavor. I like it.
Wow. Thank you so much, guys. Honestly, thank you.
Thank you. We'll catch up.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye for now.
Good fun.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.